So now let us see who should these activities be dedicated to and how should these activities be done. So the next two shlokas, Bhagavan brings a very beautiful topic called Yajna, Yajna spirit. So now the last verse we'll do today is how the world came into creation and what is the Yajna spirit that pervades the entire universe. So verse number 10. Saha yajna praja srishtva.
Saha yajna praja srishtva.
Puro vacha prajapatihi.
Puro vacha prajapatihi.
Anena prasavishyadvam.
Anena prasavishyadvam.
Eshavostvishta kamaduk. So, Prajapati, the last word of the first line, Prajapati is the Brahmaji, the creator. Now, we have to understand the difference between Brahmaji and Brahman. Often people mistake that Brahmaji is the creator, just as Vishnu Bhagavan is the sustainer and Shivji is the destroyer. So, the creator, sustainer and destroyer is Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. And Brahman is the all-pervading reality, which is the totality. And Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh represent that total consciousness as the creator, sustainer and destroyer. So here Prajapati represents Brahmaji, the creator. So Saha Yajna. So with Yajna, with using the Yajna spirit, Praja Srishtva. Praja means beings, all the beings. Having created all the beings, how? With the Yajna spirit. Pura. Pura means in the beginning, before the creation started, as the creation started, having created the universe, Uvacha, he said, Prajapati, what did he say? The creator, having created this universe and the Praja, what did he say? Anena. Anena means by this. By this, what he means is by this Yajna spirit. Prasavishyadvam. Now the word prasava means delivery. So when a mother delivers the child, that is called prasava. So when Bhagavan says prasavishyadvam means with this Yajna spirit, may you grow, may you multiply, may you flourish. So with this Yajna spirit, may you multiply, may you flourish. And Esha, and this Yajna spirit, vaha, for you, astu, may it be ishta kamaduk. Ishta kamaduk means kamadhenu, who is said to be a mythical cow that fulfills all the desires. So they said there used to be in the ancient times a cow called kamadhenu. Some people say Vasishtha Rishi had that cow. Others say this cow came out of the churning of the ocean when the Amrit came out before that. But there is supposed to be a mythical cow that fulfills all your desires. And whatever, in fact, one commentary I read, it says she only fulfills good desires. Another one says she fulfills all desires. So whatever, the point is that this wish-fulfilling cow is nothing but the Yajna spirit. When it's applied in the world, it fulfills all your wishes. And we'll talk about that. So, Praja Srishtva. So, how did the creator create this universe? So, Gurudev in his commentary very beautifully says, he says, all the elements were ready to serve creation before the creator came, before the world came, the creation came. Before the creation came, all the elements were ready. The sun was shining, the air was blowing, the rain was falling. And then the plants started growing, and then the animals and birds and fish and humans, everything appeared. But before creation appeared, all the elements were working unselfish. The sun doesn't say, what will I get, if I give you light? Does the sun ever say that? No, the sun happily gives light, never asking for anything in return. The rain doesn't say, I'll only fall on the good people, or I'll only fall on people who worship me. And the rain blesses everybody. So the nature is the perfect example of yagna spirit, where the entire nature is here to serve us. Trees give us, you know, fruits, give us all the vegetables, give us the grains. The whole of nature is blessing us constantly. And when we work with that similar attitude, then it becomes a kama dhenu. It becomes a wish-fulfilling cow. That means whatever I wish, I can get by working with the yagna spirit. And let us see a few examples, like in the family. Now there is a father and mother and children, and each one has their duties, right? One has to earn, and maybe one cooks, and then, you know, studies and all. But tomorrow, the father said, I'm going to only earn for myself. You guys go and earn on your own. You know, the family is going to be a mess. Or the mother said, I'm only going to cook for myself. You guys want to eat? Come in the kitchen. No. They all work together. Why? For the betterment of the family. The family should flourish. So everybody thinks that the children, same thing, they should help around the house. They should not say, I'm only here and my parents have to take care of me. So they work with the yagna spirit, or in the nation. You know, there are some people who are good in studies, so they become teachers. Others are good administrators, they become leaders. Then there are others who are good in business. And then there are others who are workers, you know, the four castes that we talk about. So when they all work together, then and then only the nation does well. Otherwise, the nation will go down. If one group of people get all the power, get all the money, which happens sometimes, you know, the businessmen flourish, or you know, the leaders, they take the power, and like the dictatorship, where the leader says, whatever I want goes, and my family will be appointed to all the posts, and nobody has any rights, you know, like we see in communism or we see in some dictatorship. So the country can only flourish when everybody puts their activity together. Or internationally, like there is a country which has oil, and then there's another country which has the equipment to refine the oil. And then there's the third country which has a lot of industry. So one country produces oil, one country refines, and the third country uses the oil for industry. And then that industry, what they produce, is then sold to the other two. So when this happens fairly, where, okay, the price for the oil charge is reasonable, what the price to the refiner and then the manufacturer. But the problem comes when one person hangs on to the oil and says, I will only, you know, this, and when they did the embargo where they were not selling oil, or when the ones producing jack up the prices and they say, you know, we have a monopoly. So whether it's family, whether it's nation, whether it's international, things can only go well when there is a yagna spirit, when people get together and work. And the same thing is for maintaining our culture and traditions. When we work together, that's only when the yagna spirit, that the culture and traditions are maintained. Otherwise, people say, I don't care what happens. Indian culture is old. I'm here in the American way. I'm going to here to live this way. And who cares about all this Sanskrit and Gita and all old stuff? But that's what Gurudev, it was his vision. He said, we have to maintain the Indian culture. And that's why he started Balvihar, that the children should be taught about their culture, about their traditions. And not only that, but all the, you know, Gita classes and adult classes, Devi study groups and all that. So the point is that all these things can work only when we work in the yagna spirit, work together, sinking our individual differences. And for Arjuna, the yagna was this battle, that where he had to do his duty without worrying about, oh, this is my uncle, or this is my grandfather, or this is my teacher, but I am on the side of good and the other people are evil. And so that's when he forgot his duty and became I, Arjuna, instead of I as part of the total consciousness. So these are the three verses we did today, shlokas. We have a few minutes, about 15 minutes. Any questions, any comments? A about the type of karmas or yagna spirit, how we can all participate.
Yagna spirit, also it says when you do any action with sacrifice,
right,
so without like and dislike becomes a yagna.
Very true, very true.
So that is what he was emphasizing in this shloka as a yagna.
Right.
In the shloka number
9. Yeah, so sacrifice, you know, that's just we,
yeah,
very true, very good. So like in the fire, we offer the offerings and say swaha. So same way in the community, when you sacrifice then it becomes a yagna spirit, right? The attitude of sacrifice and without likes and dislikes, because likes and dislikes is what creates bondage and attachment. I like this, so I do it. I don't like this, I don't do it. And so I run away from things I dislike, run towards things I like, and that creates bondage, that creates attachment. So that's very true, doing things without likes and dislikes, with the attitude of sacrifice.
And same thing goes with duty, like your karmas that you do, your nemitya karmas, that if you do it as your duty, without like and dislike, will make it pure, it will purify you.
Right.
It will make the karmas...
Karma yoga. Right. True. Without likes and dislikes. Yes.
Because many times I don't like doing this. Even though it's my duty, a lot of time we don't do it. So that's not...
True.
That is like you're running away from your duty. That will lead you to... that's what Gurudev says. That you, if you give up your duties and run away from it, then it will make you heedless. You know, like you will waste your time, or you will do wrong things, or you will waste your time, lazy.
Right.
So
right.
That running away is not
true. True. That's what Arjuna wanted to run away.
He wanted to go from the war, not doing it, because as a kshatriya, it was his duty to do
the right thing.
To do the right thing. So that's why.
True.
So the likes and dislikes are there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what.
Exactly.
That's what makes you repel or do it. So I think whoever has whatever talent, it contributes into the community without thinking of what it's going to get from it.
Right.
Is the real sacrifice. The sun gives out heat to everybody who's around without expecting anything back. Because of sun, we have a rain. Because of rain, we have a drain. Because of that, we have a food. Still, it just, sometimes it burns off some things too. But it just does his duty, whatever he's... He cannot give coolness, because that sun's nature is to be hot. So each one of us have talents and nature that we could contribute into one program and make one program successful without considering my happiness or my concern or my... Thinking, it's what am I going to get? No, that's not what the point is. The point is what, how well that project comes out. Right, thank you. So, I mean, in other words, you can say you give your time and talent, that's your sacrifice. Thank you, very good. Anything else? Yeah, I think sometimes when you do a self-sacrificing act too, I mean, there can be a little ego involved too. It's like it's ooh, I just did this. It's like, it's a fine line. Sacrifice is a very strong word. That's what makes you feel like, oh, I sacrificed my time for this. So I think it's just like collective work, that's all. It is forgetting what I'm doing, my time and doing it. Even the yagna was originally considered for sacrifice. That's why we used the word sacrifice. Because we used to put things inside.
It has to be reinterpreted
in that particular
context, right. No, you're absolutely right. It's a very fine line between, you know, ego and between sacrifice. And it can be either physical, I did something physically or emotionally or knowledge, intellectually, I'm smarter than him, or I am more loving, I am more compassionate, or I am more spiritual. See, that is the biggest ego. That I am more spiritual than this person, I go to church more often, I know more, I can speak more. So one has to be very careful, and I totally agree with you. And I think if only way to avoid that is constantly be grateful to the Lord. because of that power I am able to do it. And if you can remind yourself constantly, then hopefully the ego will not arise. How what do you suggest? How do you reduce ego?
I think you're right. I think it's just giving thanks that it's God, not me. But even so, sometimes you still get a little thrill, like, ooh, I, you know. And not intentionally taking it as an ego, but I think that it just, you know, it can happen sometimes.
See, it's okay to be happy if a job has been well done. See, if I did something and it became a success. Mm-hmm. See, there's a difference between success and satisfaction. I read somewhere. Success is what the world can see. Satisfaction is what I feel inside. See, success is, I saw I did very good and everybody praised. But inside, if I feel that true sense of fulfillment, that I did something good, and at the same time, there is no ego, that is satisfaction. And one has to be very careful, because success can lead to ego, but if satisfaction is true satisfaction, when I have done my duty, and I have done it without I and my, then... So I think one has to be constantly watchful, and the more you evolve on the spiritual path, the more one has to become more alert, because not knowing I make a mistake, that's bad. But knowing this right thing and then I make a mistake, that's even worse. So having read the scriptures, having studied, and then I go on the wrong path, that is much worse than in a person who didn't know it, like a child or somebody. So, I mean, the karma is equally bad, but for a person, knowing is much worse. So, one has to be very alert on the spirit.
Also, I think you can offer it to them.
Yes.
That is another way of, you know, whenever something good happens, you feel good about it, but you offer it to them. The same way of saying, like, it's because of him I'm doing it.
It's very interesting. As you can adopt, we start thinking of this.
Uh-huh.
If you look at children, if you give them some work to do at one time, they'll all go and do it, never thinking of
what we like.
Who's doing what and what. If this work needs to be done, they all do it. I mean, as a child, I worked on a road in village where we had to dig the soil and put it on the road and all that. Never thought of that was a yetna. Things like that. So we all, the rule was one person from every home goes to repair the road. We all get together, and anybody does whatever they can do it. So that I mean, now I see that is real yajna, where the whole village got together to repair the road, which was, you know, beaten up by the rain and all that. So, as a child, you never think that I'm sacrificing my time. It's just a fun time, together, working together. That was real karma yoga, I think.
Right.
And that's what we should be doing.
No, actually, there was one person said that the children of today don't have the same values that we did and don't listen to us. You know who said that? An Egyptian 2,500 years ago. It's all generations say the same, that this generation doesn't listen to us. So this is an immortal thing. It has always been happening. So idea, see, they have their own, look at the speeches we had this time in the graduation, how beautifully the 7 kids spoke. So if they are given the right ideas and the right values, they produce. I mean, this was most wonderful. This graduation this time was so fulfilling to watch all these kids and everybody working. So it's not the kids' fault. It is our fault if we don't give them right values, don't give them right education, don't give them right teachings. To blame the generation, it is the fault of the older generation. Like we were taught by our parents, it is our duty to teach our children and give them right values, I think. But no, your point is good, but this is an immortal. It's always been going on through history.
But in a school, they must have some project.
Right. No, they do.
I mean, at home, they may be different.
Yeah, no, they belong to all this Kiwanis club. And
I'm blaming it on my 5-year-old, but, you know, as adults, you know, with my my wife and I, you know, we say, why should I do it, you know?
Right.
You do it.
So I think based on their age, we have to give them projects to do, things to do, how they can be useful around the house, pick up, you know, put the dishes away, things like that. So from childhood, you have to train them that if you are a member of the household, there are certain rights and then there are certain responsibilities. Lovingly, that they have to be taught. That's very important.
Gurudev used to say, youth is not useless. They're used less.
They are used less.
Yeah.
Oh. They're not useless. They're
not
used
less.
Used less.
We don't use them properly.
Yeah.
Like in proper way.
Right. That's a good point. Thank
they're
you.
Not useless.
Yeah. So just a couple of announcements before we end. So our website is firstpower.info. Tony maintains that. So if you have any time miss a lecture or a class, please just click on your computer or on your cell phone, firstpower.info, and it will take you to the meditation class and the Bhagavad Gita class. So within 2 or 3 days of the class, it is there. So if you wish to watch or wish to listen, it's not video, it's audio. And then upcoming events, we have several events in the summer, June 4th to 7th, this coming Monday to Thursday. Swami Chidatmananda ji is here from Hyderabad, from India, and he will be talking on path of devotional elixir. It's a topic of devotion. It's a wonderful talk. And so since Swamiji will be here next week, there won't be a Wednesday class. We won't do the Bhagavad Gita class, and we won't do the Thursday meditation either. But Swamiji will be speaking 7 to 8:30. So that is the path of devotion. And then June 30th is our anniversary. Gokul anniversary was, Gokul was founded in 2006, inaugurated by Swami Tejomayananda ji and Mayor Harvey Hall. We just lost him, but he was the one who came and inaugurated the mission. And of course, Puja Swami Tejomayananda ji, who is the worldwide head at that time. So it was started in 2006, and June 30th, we're celebrating the anniversary. Swami Ishwarananda ji will be here, and he will be blessing us on that day. So it will be in the morning, 10 o'clock. We'll have puja. We do a Sudarshan Homa, invoke the Lord Vishnu's blessings and the Sudarshan Chakra, and then we do the puja, and then we'll have lunch. So that will be June 30th at 10 o'clock. Please watch for your emails. And then July 25 to 27, we are very blessed to have Swami Swarupananda ji, who is the worldwide head of the Chinmaya mission. Wonderful speaker, full of knowledge and full of devotion for Gurudev. One of the most clear and simple way he explains even the most difficult subject. He's an outstanding speaker. Whenever we have heard him, he's very good. And he will be, his topic is Storm to Perform. Very, very basic, very practical topic. And so please mark your calendars and attend these three events. And then next week will be Swamiji, and then we'll meet in 2 weeks at 7:30, and we'll continue this, what Hansa spoke about, the relationship between us and God. So that is what we will continue in 2 weeks. So thank you very much. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Harihi Om. Thank you.